We turn in God's inspired word this evening to Mark chapter 1, taking up our reading at verse 29 of Mark chapter 1. Mark 1, verse 29, "And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon, immediately, they tell him of her, and he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. And at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils, and all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, All men seek for thee. And he said unto them, Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and cast out devils. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straitly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, See thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter." The text to which I call your attention this evening is the verses 40 through 42 of Mark 1. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand, and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, after the healing of Peter's mother-in-law and all the wonders that flowed from that blessed house visitation, as we considered 2 weeks ago, we find in Luke 4, verse 42, that when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place. He apparently had been involved most of the night in these labors of healing and was quite overwhelmed by the crowds. He was, after all, a man like we are men, a man who needed sleep, a man who needed occasionally to get away. All the more necessary was that for him, that he might have time to commune with his heavenly Father, and to find comfort for the great burden that he had to bear in taking our infirmities and bearing our iniquities. So we are told he departed and went into a desert place. But the time of his rest and his unbroken silence with his heavenly Father was only very brief. For the people sought him, and came unto him and stayed him that he should not depart from them. But Christ would not be bound to the desires of the citizens of Capernaum. And so we read in this parallel account in Luke 4, verse 43, "And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent." The primary purpose of his ministry was to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God, and thereby to reveal himself as the Word become flesh. As we have seen, the various miracles that he performed were done to confirm the Word that he preached by putting upon that Word the stamp of divine authority and power. So Mark tells us that Jesus preached in the synagogues throughout Galilee and cast out devils. That's the context in which we find a man coming to Jesus for healing. The man who is the object of the Lord's work in our text this evening was a man who bore a terrible infirmity. He was a leper. Leprosy was a terrible and deadly disease. But more importantly, leprosy was a disease that, in a peculiar way, pictured the deep, pervading, and corrupting influence of sin. Bear that picture in mind as we consider this text. Then we shall also see its application for you and for me. I call your attention now to the cleansing of the leper. We notice, first of all, a terrible disease, secondly, a confident faith, and finally, a blessed cleansing. This man who came to Jesus was afflicted with a terrible disease. Leprosy was one of the most dreadful diseases known to man. And that was true, first of all, because of its terrible symptoms. Leprosy was a slowly progressing disease that, up until rather recent years, was very difficult to treat. It has been called a living death because of the many horrifying effects upon the body. Without cure, it can leave people deformed and hopeless for the rest of their lives. It's a bacterial disease that's somewhat infectious, and that attacks especially the nerves in the extremities as well as the face. When the nerve trunks in the arms were affected, the hand would become numb and the muscles paralyzed, thus leading to a curling of the fingers and thumb. And because of a loss of feeling in the fingers and hands, the leper would lose the sensitivity that normally protects us against objects that are hot or sharp. So a leper would often suffer cuts or burns, which then would become infected. And that in turn would lead to a deeper erosion of tissue and bones, causing even greater deformity. When leprosy affected the feet, it would interrupt the sensory communication between the brain and the feet, and again destroy the body's ability to feel pain and injury. Without feeling pain, lepers would easily injure their bare feet, leading to the same kind of deformities as in the hand. Besides hands and feet, leprosy also often brought devastating injury to the face and eyes. When leprosy affected the facial nerves, the result would be that a person would lose the protective blinking reflex of the eye, which in turn led to dryness, ulceration, and blindness. Leprosy entering the mucus lining of the nose could lead to internal damage and scarring, even causing the nose to collapse. So you see that leprosy was a dreadful, devastating disease with striking terror into those smitten, as well as families and communities where leprosy was seen. Because of its effect and its contagious nature, even though not easily transmitted, leprosy also brought an unparalleled rejection from family and society. There was no place in society for a leper. But leprosy was a terrible disease, more especially because of what it signified. However infectious any other disease might have been, and however deadly, no disease but leprosy made its victim ceremonially unclean, and that was known throughout Israel. Leprosy was a fitting picture of sin. And therefore, the leper was judged by the law not just to be ill, but to be unclean. I said in my introduction that leprosy was a disease that pictured in a peculiar way the deep, pervading, and corrupting influence of sin. Think of that description of leprosy. And listen now to Isaiah's inspired description of the pervading and corrupting influence of sin as we read in Isaiah 1 verse 6. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. He's describing the spread of sin in Israel. Among the Jews, the leper was excommunicated, cut off from fellowship with the congregation. He had to live apart, having company only with others bearing the same disease. And not only did this leprosy mark him as unclean, but he had to call attention to his own uncleanness too, all according to the law of God. He had to wear the emblems of sorrow and death. He had to wear the torn garments, which normally were worn by those weeping for the dead. He had to shave his head, just as they had to do who touched the dead. And he had to take upon himself all those elements of mourning, because the leper himself was the walking dead. And lest others should come near him, he had to warn them off, calling attention to his own death by crying out, "Unclean, unclean." What a pitiful sight was the poor leper. What a dreadful disease, as it bore witness of the terrible corruption of fallen man, and as it prophesied of the agonies of deepest hell, in the words of Isaiah 64, verse 24, all flesh shall look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me, for their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. With that in mind, we read in our text that this outcast, this leprous man, came to Jesus. From what is revealed to us in Scripture, we may believe that there were many cases of leprosy in Palestine during the course of Jesus' earthly ministry. Because lepers were outcasts, they were scattered here and there into little colonies, segregated from society and looked down upon. But even so, The segregation of these afflicted people was not such that they were totally cut off from all news, even when news in those days had to pass from person to person. So it was that even among these outcasts, the reports were received of a Jesus of Nazareth, whom some were speaking of as the Son of God, the Messiah, who was healing many, whose afflictions had been beyond any human remedy. The question, of course, to any leper would be, how shall I, who am restricted access to any city and forbidden fellowship with society, ever get to see this Jesus? But there was one man, afflicted with this terrible disease, who dared to go cast himself upon the mercies of this Jesus. Luke reveals to us in Luke 5 that Jesus had come to this man's city. That is, the city where once had been his home before being ensnared by this dreadful affliction. The man from a distance could see the multitudes thronging Jesus, and seeing them and catching a glimpse of that one in whom alone was the hope of many, this leper committed himself to doing that which no other leper had done. He came to Jesus. You can picture the reaction of the multitude as this leper approached, because Luke tells us he was full of leprosy, therefore bearing the hideous marks of this moving death. As people saw him approaching, there must have been a wide path given to him, lest anybody touch him and so become also unclean. The crowd must have been horrified as this man drew near to Jesus, but draw near he did, with a confident faith. This leper approached the Lord. Perhaps that confidence isn't so evident at first glance as we read, and there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. But make no mistake, it was with an astounding confidence that this leper approached our Lord. And even the if, according to the form of the Greek word used, suggested the probability of Jesus performing this request. Matthew tells us in the parallel account that this man worshiped Jesus. Luke says he fell on his face, addressing Jesus as Lord. Those are significant points in this description. Bear in mind, this is a man who had no outward reason for hope, none whatsoever. That he was full of leprosy means that he was too far gone to even dream of a cure. His disease was in its final stages. Still more, there is no indication that the Lord had healed even one leper before this. He had cast out devils and cured fever. He had healed many sick with various diseases. But leprosy is not mentioned prior to this except by the Lord himself in his preaching in Nazareth. And there you might remember the reference was to the hopelessness of healing among the unbelieving Jews, because Jesus referred back to Old Testament history. The only incident of a leper being healed, and our children will remember that case, It was the case of Naaman, the captain of the enemy army of Syria. And in Luke 4, verse 27, Jesus said, "And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Eliseus the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian." Jesus gave no indication of a willingness to save one Israelite from this dreadful disease. There was no precedent encouraging this leper to come. He had heard no promise, "Come, ye lepers, unto me, and I will heal you." No. But this leper came to Jesus. In hope he came to Jesus, worshiping him. Look with what reverence he approaches God, falling on his face before him. Perhaps Jesus had seen this kind of reverence shown him before, except after a case of performing his wonder work. This leper certainly came with an attitude not commonly seen among men, with earnestness, with humility. As Luke tells us, this leper addressed Jesus as Lord. That's significant too. That's a confession of faith. So the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3, that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. If you look back at Andrew and Nathanael and Nicodemus, the Samaritan woman, and the nobleman of Capernaum, you hear them address Jesus as Sir, Master, Rabbi, but none of them addressed Jesus as did this leper. Only after the miraculous catch of fish, when Peter's soul had been overwhelmed by the wonder of it all, did he address Jesus this way. And then it was, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." It had taken that miracle, personally experienced, to elevate Peter's conception of Jesus. Not so with this leper. The Holy Spirit had already been working in him the sight to see Jesus for who he is. That's what we learn from 1 Corinthians 12. So he saw Jesus, the Almighty, the sovereign over all the earth, over men and devils, over health and sickness, over sin and death, yes, even over leprosy, the most dreadful sign of sin and death. "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." Do you believe that, beloved? No hesitation as to the power the Lord possesses, and yet no presumption that he will do as I will. The leper simply casts himself upon the free and sovereign will of Christ himself and his almighty power. So he finds in Jesus his only hope, and goes to him in the certainty that he is able to do his own good pleasure. So must you and I approach God's Christ, beloved. You and I, leprous sinners, must come to Jesus. He's the only Savior. We must come to him just as we are. Lepers not only, but knowing that we are full of leprosy, the walking dead. among the multitudes of men, women, and children that walk this earth and that come face to face with Jesus in the gospel. There are many who live as if they are unaware of their dreadful and deadly leprosy. They do not grieve over their condition, nor do they wish to be cleansed. They live with a deadly indifference toward the spiritual reality. I'm reminded of the description of man's deadly spiritual condition as given by the inspired preacher in Ecclesiastes 9, verse 3. Yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live, and after that they go to the dead. It's because of that madness in their heart that they live as unaware of their dreadful state and condition, always pointing the finger at others. In fact, many love their way. They enjoy being slaves to sin. They fail to see that those pleasures of sin are in God's sight more loathsome than the worst disease known to man. The leper, however, knew. He knew his deadly malady, and he wanted desperately to be delivered from it. With heart and soul, he longed to be cleansed. He would be seen as one who lived. He would be freed from his association with that colony of lepers condemned to die, those who wore torn garments which were emblems of his own death. And the only way to that new life was through Jesus Christ, Jesus the Lord. Still more, you must come to Jesus as if you are the only leper. Though you come through a multitude, you come as though you alone are the worst. So this leper came, coming through that multitude, with the path widening before him, as the people scattered from him. This man came as if he alone had the most dreadful condition known to man. And when you and I come that way, though we stand in the midst of a multitude, it seems to us that there is but one sinner standing before the Lord, and that sinner, then you say with the Apostle Paul, as I do too, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. You come before him recognizing the character of your sin, the horror of it, and the harmful, corrupting influence of it. You come before him announcing your coming, unclean, unclean. Yes, this means that you confess your sins before God and man. And then you come to Jesus as Lord. You come before him in worship, in deep humility, knowing that he alone is God. And knowing him as Lord, you confess that he has the right to tell you how you shall live, and that in your failure to live in obedience to him, you have forfeited all right to his fellowship and love and have offended him greatly in sorrow for your wretched appearance and inward corruption. You throw yourself upon the arms of his sovereign will and almighty power, saying, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Though all others might look upon you as hopeless, he who alone saves says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I shall in no wise cast out. And so the text reveals to us the miracle of a blessed healing, a blessed cleansing. Jesus instantly stepped forward toward this leper, from whom everyone else backed away. And as the crowd initially drew their breath in horror, Jesus put forth his hand. Touch the leper. Remember now, by the law of Moses, the one who touched a leper himself became unclean. Yet without any hesitation, Jesus placed his hand upon the one full of leprosy. Nor did Jesus fear becoming defiled, nor require any purification. Why was that? Because he himself was fully pure. He would take our guilt upon himself, the root cause of all corruption. But corruption would not be found in him, because he's the holy Lamb of God, without spot and without blemish. So he would take that guilt and corruption and blot them out, casting them away at the cross. And so looking upon the leper, he was moved with compassion. Don't overlook those blessed words, beloved. He was moved with compassion. Jesus is moved with compassion toward the vilest sinner who turns to him. And that compassion is the expression of the incomprehensible love of God for his miserable, devastated children. Have you ever visited a child in the hospital where a loving mother keeps watch over that child, sometimes with sighs, sometimes with tears? That mother would gladly take that child's misery to herself. Anything to relieve that child's distress. That's compassion. That's compassion. But there's one major difference. Whereas that loving mother can do nothing but wait upon the Lord, Jesus is powerful to fulfill his desire to deliver his child from the misery causing that distress. He has pity upon the sinner who turns to him. And so we read that he said to the leper, I will, be thou clean. With his sovereign word, Christ speaks, I will. It's a will driven by his sovereign love. apart from this sovereign will of Christ, there would be no salvation for this man. But these words are spoken with divine certainty, because these words are rooted in divine election. That's clearly revealed by Jesus in John 6, verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For that reason, that I will is different from the expression of the will of any other person. The I will of a king might have enough power to move men under him and affect the government of his kingdom and the activities of his subjects. But his word is not omnipotent. The I will of Christ, as spoken to this leper, is a word that drives out death and hell, overcomes the devil and his hosts, breaks the power of guilt and sin, removes despair, and floods its object with hope. When the Lord says, I will, you shall be made whole. To you is salvation. And to the soul that comes to him, he will never say, I will not. Because the soul that comes to him in this way, the way this leper came, is one who has been drawn by the Father. And immediately after Jesus spoke these words, I will, be thou clean, the leper was cleansed. Some seem to think that salvation is Jesus saying, you are righteous, so that we can go on in our sins with a quiet conscience. But his salvation is nothing of the kind. Just as this leper was not just healed, but cleansed, so when Christ works salvation in you and in me, we are made new creatures in Christ, the Bible tells us. New creatures. How so great a change could be wrought in a person, we cannot tell. It is, after all, a miracle. A wonder of grace it is. But so God works. And so Christ looks with compassion upon us who come to him, drawn by the cords of God's eternal love. The Lord remembers the wounds by which he secured the right to heal us. He remembers the cruel tree upon which he bore the wrath of God that we might live. And as we come to him, he says, even now, I will, be thou clean. He says that even in our daily conversion. And we rejoice in the wonder work of his grace. Amen. Gracious Father, we stand amazed at thy compassion, the wonder work of thy grace in saving us. And as thou hast blessed us to see the wonder of the gospel, we pray that thou wilt abide with us, that we show forth in our lives that cleansing power of our Savior. Look upon us in the mercy of thy dear Son, for in his name we pray. Amen.